Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. Happy Easter. Don't you hope that on that first Easter, that garden where Mary Magdalene was, don't you hope it was filled with flowers like these? Wouldn't that be great? And maybe a few butterflies? Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Well, I'm Pastor Lynn, the associate pastor here at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake, where we are always seeking to know God, to love God, and to serve God. Our worship leaders today are Liz Hoover and Bruce Stark, and as I share a few announcements, I would like to invite any children who wish to head for Sunday school to go ahead and do that, because your teachers will be waiting for you near the back. But three important announcements. There's lots of important announcements, but three we're going to highlight today. One, registration is already open for VBS and for summer theater camp, so get your spot. Number two, mark your calendars for Sunday, April 30th. There is going to be a breakfast. It's all about readers to leaders. Mark your calendar. It's going to include speakers, a chance to make a free will donation for this very great cause. And number three, now is the time to start planning for a Holy Land trip next January. Pastor Lindsay's leading one. You can go with her. And there's a place to get the information packets in the community hall on a high top table. So grab one, read about it, pray about it. Maybe you could go and walk where Jesus walked. Finally, we would love to know that you're here. So please, fill out a connection card, fill out a prayer card so we can pray with you. And if you're online, we're glad you're here too, and fill out information online. Blessings to all of you. And now, imagine that it's early in the morning, the sun is rising, and the women are at the tomb.
Nature and all creation. the three of us.
It was damp.
There was a heavy dew in the air.
We could see the sun rising.
We took some flowers.
I picked them on Friday.
And we took some perfume.
We worried there might be an odor.
You know how it is with bodies.
I was scared.
We had run up the road.
We were out of breath.
But we walked through the graveyard.
We worried about the stone.
Who would roll it away?
We should have brought the men.
But then we looked.
The stone was away.
I went in first.
I was terrified.
I never wanted to go.
Nothing was there.
Just the strips of cloth right where we had left him.
Yeah, right? It was right where we left him.
But there was no body.
But then we heard a voice.
But it wasn't his voice.
It said he is risen.
It said he wasn't there.
It said we had to tell the others.
We have to go back.
But they'll never believe us.
They'll think we've gone mad.
We have to go tell the others.
But they'll never believe us.
They'll say we're just silly women.
But the stone was rolled away.
And there wasn't a body.
And we did hear a voice.
And he is risen.
Thank you. Good morning, and he is risen.
He is risen.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord and Savior, we celebrate your resurrection today. Your saving grace is the hope for our world. Lift us up as you have risen, and help us to live for you, knowing that you have victory over death and the grave. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The scripture reading this morning is from John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary, she stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you, Liz, for reading the scripture lesson for us this morning, the gospel lesson. Happy Easter, church. Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. It is so good to be with you in worship this morning. I tell you what, there are some Sundays when it is just so joyous to come to worship and praise. And I think Easter Sunday is certainly one of these Sundays where this is the place you have to be in the room. And Christmas Eve, it is so good to worship with you as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And we have the candles and we sing Silent Night. But it's also great to be in worship on Pentecost Sunday when we celebrate the birth date of the church, and Confirmation Sunday is when our young people profess faith in Christ, and Palm Sunday last week when we were waving our palm branches and saying, "Hosanna, save us." But today, I think today is the most glorious day of all the Sundays to worship. So you've selected the right place to be, to praise God, to hear some amazing, amazing music. It's the tradition of the church that we come on Easter Sunday and we proclaim that Christ has risen indeed, and we wear our Easter best and we hear the bells and we see all the beautiful flowers set up. It is the tradition of the church that we gather this day for a special purpose. Oh man, I remember as a young kid going to worship, and speaking of church traditions, we would go to my grandparents' little tiny church in their small town of like 300 or 400 people, and we'd gather. There'd be 30 people on a regular Sunday, and then, you know, on Easter, there'd be like 50 with all of the family members coming in from out of town, and we'd sing "Up from the Grave He Arose," and we'd sing "He Lives," and we'd fill the pews, and there'd be flowers, and oh, what a great tradition to worship. And I remember as a kid, then afterwards, we'd go to my grandparents' their farm, and then later into town, and we'd have ham and scallop potatoes and meatloaf, you know, all those great traditional, do you have church traditions, and then you have the family traditions. And the Easter Bunny would always make an appearance later, and we'd dye Easter eggs, and kids would, you know, we'd dye the Easter eggs, but not just like a little, with like spoon. Your whole hand would be in, and it'd be covered in like purple and pink, you know, and you get out the glitter, and it traditions as family. And then there'd be frosting pulled out in sprinkles as we'd decorate sugar cookies and jelly beans galore, those great traditions. Do you have traditions that you think of this weekend? Were there family traditions over this holiday Easter weekend? Can you think back as a kid or your own family growing up? What were those traditions that you always celebrated? Well, in the church, every year we come to worship to celebrate. It is a tradition to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, to tell the story that he's no longer dead, but that he's come back to life, and we celebrate it, and we proclaim it in the gospel. It's the most joyous day of the year, I'll tell you what. And we remember that in Mary, that she discovered something new. Liz read for us the gospel lesson from John's gospel, and we discover there was one woman at the tomb, but did you notice the skit? There were three. So depending upon what gospel you're reading, Matthew's gospel said there were two women that were there. Mark's gospel said there were three. Luke's gospel said there were three plus some others. And then Liz read for us John's gospel that there was one woman. But however the story went, whoever was present, we recall that while it was still dark, Mary went and she visited. She was thinking that she would go and discover the body that she would anoint, that she would pay visit to. She was going to be there, and she discovered that the tomb had been rolled away and the body was gone, and she found herself in that moment experiencing hopelessness and experiencing fear and loss, because it was enough that Jesus was turned over and betrayed by Judas, and then it was enough that he hung upon the cross on Good Friday between two criminals, and it was enough that he breathed his last breath and that he passed. But now she went thinking that she could at least visit his graveside, and he wasn't even there. His body, it was gone. And so she says, they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him. She keeps repeating, and she experiences hopelessness and grief and loss and despair. And that's how Easter morning started out. But it's not how Easter morning's going to end, is it? There's more to the story. But Mary finds herself in hopelessness and grief and loss and pain. Do you ever relate to that? Do you ever find yourself in hopelessness and grief and loss? I'm one every morning to turn on the news or open up an app or check out social media on lunch break. I want to open up and see what's going on in the world, and it doesn't take too long to crack open social media or open up an old-fashioned newspaper. Who still gets the paper? That's awesome. Yes, yes, paper people, yes. But when you open up the good old newspaper, or when you turn on social media, or you look on news online, it doesn't take too long to discover pain and tragedy, to find a nation divided over politics and theological tensions within the church and heavy situations that weigh on our hearts. You can insert example that weighs on your heart. Or to turn on the news and hear about kids don't have enough food in their stomachs, or people that are going to sleep not with a permanent home over their heads. Or hear about shootings and gun violence and situations that our hearts just break over. And we can find ourselves like Mary grieving and experiencing pain when we open up the news or when we turn on social media and we go, ugh. And then when we open up the scriptures, we find an entirely different good news story. We discover something good for us to read, whether it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, whatever one you want to do your homework this weekend, go check out all four of the resurrection stories. You can compare them, you can get your theological geekiness on and discover that they're all just a little bit different. But when we open up those scriptures, we discover a good news story and the truth of the resurrection, that God's power can transform situations, that God's power can transform death into new life. And so as the sun was coming up on Easter morning, we discovered that there was hope. Mary went to the tomb thinking she was gonna pay respects to Jesus' body, and she discovers a really odd conversation that took place. Very peculiar situation. She's thinking she's talking to a gardener. It's not a gardener. It's Jesus standing right before her, and he's not dead. No one's taken the body, but he has resurrected. As Pastor John normally says, normally when things die, they kind of stay dead. This is not the case. But we discover an empty tomb, and we know that with the resurrection, it means there's hope. that through Christ dying, that death was destroyed, and Christ rising, new life was found. And we celebrate that death and evil and destruction and hate aren't the ending of the story of Good Friday, but there is hope and there is light and there is good news to come. There's always hope. Now we know in our own lives that we can feel those Good Friday moments, right? We know that there was Good Friday that took place, but we know in our own lives there are those times and there's situations that are maybe on the news or in the world or in the community where we feel like we're living in Good Friday. But hang on, folks, because Easter morning comes. Easter morning comes. We can cling to that hope because God is a transforming God. Transforming in evil and injustice and hate and violence into hope and life and light. That's the good news of the story this morning. But it's not just that God is a transforming God, bringing from the worst situations to Easter morning. God's not only a transforming God, but God calls us to do that very work as people of faith. God calls us to join in healing the broken world and offering God's love and grace and shining that light far and wide. For 2,000 years, we've come and we've worshiped and we've praised and we've celebrated the risen Christ, and we've come like Mary, the first woman, the first preacher, the first evangelist. Hallelujah, was a woman. That's cool. And we've come for 2,000 years to follow in her footsteps, to share this good word, to bring hope. And I'll tell you, this church is all about hope. This church is all about being signs of resurrection in the world, both here and in the community and around Michigan and throughout the world. And I see signs of it all the time, whether it's our church putting on Easter egg hunts and the Easter bunny pays visits and there are just bright, shining, happy smiles for kids. That's a sign of Easter resurrection. Or maybe it's this church that's sending out volunteers for Habitat for Humanity or serving at CAS in Detroit and building tiny homes. Or people giving gifts to purchase water wells in Liberia, or our church hosting blood drives or supporting kids to go to freedom schools in Flint and around the community, scholarshiping kids that otherwise wouldn't have access to education in Liberia. This church is about hope. This church embodies it, and I've seen it so many ways. And yet Christ calls us to keep being about that very hope in the world, to keep living out that tradition as people of faith, to share the good word, and then to get our sneakers on and start moving, putting that faith into action. So this weekend, as we think about maybe the different family traditions that you're going to be doing, maybe after worship today, if you're going to enjoy some ham and scalloped potatoes or whatever that great tradition is that you do, as we think about those family traditions and we think about the traditions of the church and we think about what we're passing down to our kids, I want to ask you, what are you passing on to the next generation? What hope are you passing on? What message are you passing on? What goodness and light and life and love are you passing on? Because Christ calls us to that work. Just like Mary, that first woman, preacher, witness, woman that she was. May we be inspired like Mary to go share that good news and proclaim it for all the world. Christ has died, but Christ has risen. Christ has risen indeed. Amen.
you, Bells. That was absolutely wonderful. As we relax and settle into a time of prayer, I want to call your attention to the beautiful prayer quote we have. The quote is for Barb, who's a friend of Sherry Slade. On your way out of the sanctuary, please stop at the table, tie a knot, say a prayer, sign the card, and let Barb know that our church is praying for her and that we're wrapping her in our arms of prayer, as well as the warmth of the quilt. Now would you join me in an attitude of prayer? Lord, our Father, Jesus, our Savior, we pray for our quilt recipients that they may find comfort and strength as their quilts surround them with the love and prayers during their time of need, that they may feel our prayers as they endure. Lord, we give you thanks for your love, your grace, your power on this blessed resurrection morning. We thank you for the many friends and loved ones who have made the effort to gather with us today, whether it be in person or online. The women gathered their spices and traveled the road to the tomb to find it empty, and were told that Jesus had risen. Then they traveled the road to the disciples to tell them the good news. Today we choose our road, which leads to the good news and the hope of a better world by following Jesus Christ. Lord, by raising Christ your Son, you conquered the power of death and opened for us the way to eternal life. Let our celebration today raise us up and renew our lives by the Spirit that is within us. Lord, the resurrection of your Son has given us new life and renewed hope. Help us to live as new people in pursuit of the Christian ideal. Grant us wisdom to know what we must do, the will to want to do it, the courage to undertake it, the perseverance to continue to do it, and the strength to complete it. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Today we celebrate and give thanks that in life, in death, in life after death, we belong to God. Lord, now we turn to a time of silent prayer and meditation as we pray to you with our concerns as well as our praises of you and all your good works. Lord, a new day has come, a new road to follow, and new hope for a better life and a better world by following the teachings of a risen Jesus Christ, who, when asked by the disciples, "How do we pray?" said, "Pray like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." God is good.
All the time.
All the time. And don't forget, God loves you, and there's not a darn thing you can do about it. Amen.
Hey there, friend. You look really down.
Yeah, I'm not feeling the most energized today.
Well, when I feel that way, I, well, you know, drink some coffee.
Yeah, that's not going to work for me. I'm kind of feeling down because I've been thinking, and I really want to make a difference in the world, but I don't know how, because I'm just, you know, coffee.
Actually, I think you make all the difference in the world to most people I know. You're the only reason I have a job. And my mom says you're the only way she can get through each day.
Wow, that's kind of dramatic.
You have no idea. But I'm actually up here to tell everyone about there's a way that you can make a difference in the world by our Readers to Leaders mission for our coffee house on a Friday night.
Oh, so all I have to do is show up and I can help?
Yes, so all of you, stop by the Wells Student Ministry Building this Friday from 4 to 8 p.m., and we have a goal of $300 for one student in Liberia to go to school for a whole year. and even includes education, food, water, and clothes.
Wow, I'm perking up already. Can't wait to see you all on Friday night.
I'm not a coffee drinker, but I can perk up with whatever else they've got. So I'm going to go there on Friday, sometime between 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock, at the Well, the building out at the side, and they have a goal of $300 to support a child. We can help them do that. So go get some coffee or water or tea. So on this day of jubilation, what more can we do but offer not only our praise, but also our gifts to our risen Savior? Let's pray. Lord, receive our offerings to you. Bless them in surprising ways so that your resurrection hope may become real for us and for hurting people in our community and in our world. Amen. May the ushers come forward to receive our offerings.
Thank you.
There is good news, church. Up from the grave he arose. Death would not be the final word, but life and light and new hope to come is here. Go in peace to love the Lord, to serve your neighbor. In his name, amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.